The retirement and IRA show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show Q&A edition, where we answer your questions that have been sent in by email or telephone call or your chosen method of communication. Today we have a whole bunch of email questions to get to, several Social Security questions, and then kind of a mixed bag of other things. I saw a retirement taxation question in there as well, but I'm sure Jim will pull all kinds of strange things out of the hat first to go over, but I want to welcome you again to the Retirement and IRA Show Q&A edition. My name's Chris, and Jim Saulnier is here as well. He just turned his microphone on between coughs. I can't believe it's not gone yet.
It's getting better.
It's getting better, but every time we do the show, we need to do the show in the morning. I think in the morning you're better.
Am I better in the morning?
I tell you
when it really bothers me, at night.
Yeah.
When I lay down and try to go into bed.
Well, you're by yourself then, so it's not bothering anybody.
Ha, ha, ha.
Sorry.
Just had to point that out, huh?
Oh, well, I wasn't really technically. I wasn't intentionally trying to mock you.
No, after it came out, mocking my singleness.
After it came out, it sure sounded that way.
Yes, I will be home alone. Although I do have living creatures once again that I have to care for.
Bats?
Nope.
Cats?
No, he's not a cat guy.
Well, I do have two feral cats.
Oh, outside to take care of the.
They hang in the barn, and I feed them because I feel bad for them in the wintertime.
They do a better job with the mice if you don't feed them.
Well.
Just saying.
One came up to the door when it was really cold a couple months ago at night and literally looked in at me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't let him in the house.
And gave you the guilt trip?
He did.
Yeah.
Or she did. I don't know what the heck it was. And I've been feeding them, and I fed them last year, and I'm feeding them this year. They're two different cats. They're not the same cats from last year. But no, I have my plants growing now.
Oh, that's right.
It's gardening season.
Nice. Well, congratulations on that.
So I go home and start looking at the little seedlings as they're growing. You can see I live an exciting life. And I know what you're thinking, woman. Yeah. You're thinking, my God, how is this man still single?
I am, really.
So that's our special guest.
That is.
She's not really a special guest.
She's going to be
on. She's special and she's a guest.
Well, she's going to be a more regular pot. She's going to learn what you're doing.
Then I don't have to be on the show anymore?
No, you're going to be on the show, and she and I are going to do a show together so we can have two Q&As.
News to me once again.
What do you mean news to you? It was your idea. For those who don't know that little voice, that is...
Don't belittle her voice.
Well, it is kind of little.
Joe. It is Joe Montana. No. Oh, no. Joe Madonna.
There you go.
Yes, nice.
She is our tax person, our resident tax person here at Jim Saulnier & Associates. So some of you, if you're having us work on your taxes, have chatted already with Joe. And we brought her on because we have a couple of tax-related questions on this Q&A show. And then in the future, she doesn't know this yet, but I'll tell her later, we are going to have her on to do a couple of tax EDU shows.
Oh, nice.
We will dive deeper into some tax issues as they relate to retirement planning. But we do have a couple of tax questions somewhere in this pile of questions in front of me.
Well, that'd be appropriate since she's here. We should do those first.
I'm going to. Do you know what I did with them, Joe?
Right there.
These are them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they are them.
Found them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have a couple of Social Security questions and a couple of retirement questions. So we'll see how many we can get through on today's show. For those who don't remember, Joe, you were on, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
And she's been working with us. I had the pleasure of meeting Joe probably around August, September of last year. I think it was more like August.
Yeah.
August of last year. And we started working much, much closer together in the fall of last year. And she came on here at the firm right towards the end of the year. And I would agree, Chris, she's been a good addition. Excellent addition.
Mm-hmm. I've said it several times.
Not on the radio.
Probably not.
You might have told her.
I spend most of my life off the radio, so.
Oh, well, now you're on. But she is an enrolled agent. That is a special designation granted by the IRS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Department of Treasury, actually.
Department of Treasury, yeah. Okay. So she gave, well, she didn't give anything. She studied and passed three exams? Mm-hmm. Or is it two?
It's three. Mm-hmm.
Three exams, and she is... I won't say licensed. Are you sanctioned? Are you, what do they call it by the IRS?
Anointed.
Anointed?
I am authorized.
Authorized.
I am okay. Authorized.
Authorized by the IRS to do tax stuff.
Tax, yeah, and representation, anything to do with the IRS. And there is no limits to it. So like some CPAs are limited by state. With an EA, you have no limits. You can represent, you can talk to the IRS, any subject, anywhere across the nation. So...
Perfect. And we brought her on today's show because we have two tax questions. The first one is very short. And Chris, you can chime in on this as well. And when Joe and I did show it to Joe, I didn't want to blindside her like I do Chris on every show. Just wait. When you've been on long enough, I'll blindside you. But we thought there could be one way he was thinking this, but for the most part, we think he's wrong. So I'll read the question. And this is, well, it doesn't say where he's from. But it does say he or she is a Green Bay Packers fan, so we could go out on a limb and assume they're from Wisconsin.
I don't know. The cheeseheads are everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. But I do want to point out to this Green Bay Packers fan that a New England Patriots fan is actually going to be reading and answering his question.
Hmm.
What was that for?
I'm just making noises, so you keep going.
It begins, I was told my company's pension plan is considered a benefit and not income, so it will not be taxed. Is this true for both traditional and cash balance plans? It's a very minimal question, so I'm not quite sure where he's coming from on this. And the short answer is, yes, it will be taxed. If this is a traditional pension, whether it's a cash balance pension plan or a traditional defined benefit plan, it will be taxed when you remove the money. Just because it is considered a benefit doesn't make it tax-free to you. That would be wonderful if it was. I'd go work for that company too. But when you have a defined benefit plan, and I'm not going to get into the difference between a traditional and a cash balance pension plan. But when you have a defined benefit plan, which is what a pension is, folks, it's where the benefit is defined and you know ahead of time what you would most likely receive if you work a certain amount of years. That's a defined benefit plan. it is taxable to you, correct, Joe?
Yeah, that's correct. The only time that it wouldn't be is if it was a disability or a military benefit of some form. But that doesn't sound like what he's talking about. I think he would have added that if he really thought it was tax-free. He would have said disability benefit or military benefit, but he's saying pension, which means that it is going to have a taxable amount when it comes out.
Right, and that's what I initially thought. Maybe he's talking a disability.
Yeah.
He's getting a disability pension benefit that could be received tax-free. The tax-free pensions that I have seen have all been disability-driven. Do you agree on that, Chris, or are we missing something, you think?
No, I totally agree. Usually some kind of insurance-type component or compensation for injury have different tax rules. So I can't imagine a circumstance where you could earn money and not be taxed on it as a normal individual, even if they hold it from you and pay it to you later. At some point, it's going to be taxed.
Right. So, listener, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I don't know who's telling you just because your pension is a benefit, it's therefore not taxed to you, unless we're missing an element. So when you hear this, if it's a disability pension you're talking, or you're talking something else and you haven't shared enough information with us, because your whole question was just two sentences, feel free to expand on that and email us back. But to the best of our knowledge, to all three people here today, your pension, whether or not it's a traditional or cash balance pension plan, will be taxable. Yep. Agree?
Yep, agree.
Yeah.
Agree?
Yep.
Okay. All right, before we get into another tax one, let's break up the monotony and do a Social Security one.
Oh, okay.
What the heck do I do with the Social Security questions?
Well, I have the two of them right here.
Oh, well, that's why I can't.
These are kind of long, though. Do you want to trap her here the whole time while we do this?
Oh.
It's okay. I might learn something new.
Okay. Kind of long.
Oh, that is really long. You're right.
I'm going to truncate it a little bit. I'm going to chop it up. So we received the following email, actually just a few days ago, actually. So we're jumping right on this. And
the reason is, folks, it's so I like to break up Social Security, mm-hmm. regular Social Security, and we have two Social Security ones. That's why.
Okay. So starts, Dear Jim, I listen to your... Oh, just you, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I listen to your podcast every week. I work at a financial institution, and I'm an IRA and HSA trustee, and have learned so much from your podcast. Then they go on. She goes on to expand on a situation with her mother, I believe. I'm trying to cut as much out of this as I can.
You read emails lousy. This is
terrible,
why
isn't
I
it?
Do it. My God.
Well, I didn't know we were going right to this, so I was going to read it as you were doing something else. It's all good. So anyway, so information for her parents. Her mother said that she receives a Social Security benefit, and it's very low, although she worked most of her life in nursing home facilities. She received $482 a month. That's her benefit. Her stepfather, so married to her mother, receives $1,400 a month. Then he receives some other things too, but this is really a Social Security question. She told her mother that the spousal benefit is available possibly and could increase her benefit. So they made an appointment with the Social Security office, and they were told that she would receive $300 more a month, and they will prorate it back to 2012. That's actually kind of amazing, because to be paid that much in retroactive benefits, Social Security essentially had to admit that they dropped the ball somewhere, mm-hmm. that they should have told them when they were in the office for maybe another appointment or something, and because they failed to, they agreed to make it back all the way to 2012, so almost 7 years worth of back payments. So that's going to be nice. Her mother is 70, and my stepfather is 68 years old. They both started receiving benefits at 62. Today, my mother received a letter from Social Security that tells her that she does not qualify for the spousal benefit. I haven't seen this letter yet, but she explained that it said, quote, after further review, we have decided that you don't qualify for SSI payments because your monthly income is blah, blah, blah. I'm going to stop there because that's the red flag on this. SSI is not spousal benefits. SSI is payments to help people that are below the poverty line.
It doesn't stand for super spousal income?
No. It does not. That'd be nice, though. So one of two things has happened here. Either at the Social Security office, they submitted her information under the wrong application for SSI instead. And then when it went through the review process, they denied her, as they probably should have. Or just to see if by chance she would qualify, they on their own submitted both an SSI request and the spousal benefit request. And this is just the cancellation or the rejection of the SSI request, and the spousal benefit maybe is still in process. She doesn't go on to say that. So I haven't seen this letter, but if it really does read, you don't qualify for SSI payments, that is not a denial of spousal benefits. And from what you've shared with me, there's really no reason why your mother shouldn't be eligible to receive a spousal benefit. Now, I'd have to know more about the numbers to understand if the $300 a month figure they quoted her was accurate. I don't have enough information here to tell you that for sure. But assuming that's true, and it was their fault, and they admit that they should have done it back in 2012, hopefully you'll get all those payments. So I would make another appointment, at least call, and find out what's going on, because it appears they have filed for the wrong thing on your behalf, which sometimes happens. I'm going to move right into a follow-up question. You want me to do that because it's related?
You may.
Break it up. Okay. So we have this other question. It's actually from a little longer ago, the beginning of February.
That's why I put them both together.
Nice. I like how you did that.
I like how I did that.
So it's somewhat related, essentially mistake by Social Security related. I received a letter from Social Security stating that my son's monthly benefit of $1,142 per month is being changed to $1,082 as of January 1st, 2019. So a reduction of $100 and some dollars. It says we found that his prior amount was incorrect, is what the letter said. I've been getting Social Security disability for myself and my son since 2013. He's 12 with autism, and I'm disabled. We are both disabled. Then it says we cannot pay him monthly benefits at this time. Why would they reduce it by over $110? I don't understand. It should be higher for COLA, cost of living adjustments. What happened? So it's actually only about $60 less now that I look at the math.
Do you want my calculator?
Oh, no. Boy.
Once you break out
it's
that
kind of hard
calculator.
To see. Yeah. Well, it's kind of blurry. I forgot my glasses.
I don't understand why.
Yeah, it's only $60 off, not $110. So her math was a little wrong there. But it's less instead of more. What happened? Well, they're admitting that they made some kind of mistake in the calculation. And without knowing how they arrived at the number, I can't tell you where they made the mistake and now they've corrected it. But sometimes there is a mistake. They'll discover it sometimes years later, and then they'll notify you. And then it falls into the situation where Social Security has either overpaid you or underpaid you. If they underpay you, then you go through a process of filing an appeal and proceed. And if you end up winning and you're right, they'll pay you all the money back to when they made the mistake, etc. That's not the case here. They're saying that they overpaid her for her son for some period of time. Well, they should have in that letter given her the option of just paying back the overpayment. That is always an option, so that the benefit moving forward, or that the what's happening now, they're not paying him at all, could be avoided. And that's a choice. Not a lot of people do that if they're living just on their Social Security because they don't have the money to do that. So the second thing that will happen is they will cease paying you benefits completely until what you owe them has been paid back. So, for instance, he's being paid about $1,000 a month. If they decided that over time that they had overpaid $3,000, just to pull a number out of the air, they simply would stop paying you for 3 months in a row, thus recovering the $3,000 overpayment, and then start up the payments again at the new corrected amount, which she's stating is right about $1,082, $60 less than it was before. Now, since there was only a $60 difference, collecting since 2013, so we've got 6 years, 72 months. Let me do a little quick math here. 72 times 60, that's $4,320. So it looks to me like they're going to withhold that money for about 4 months. to recover the overpayment if she doesn't want to just come up with that money up front and pay it. That I don't have the letter, but in the past, that's always been an option that you can just pay it out of pocket. There is a appeal of this. If this is going to cause a tremendous financial hardship, you can file an appeal to have them not withhold the benefit completely and instead come to an agreement where they reduce the benefit for some period of time, kind of like thinking of it as a loan, right? They're going to let you repay it over time rather than all at once in either a lump sum or by withholding benefits for, in this case, 4 months plus to recover the issue. So this was really a situation of a different kind of mistake. They've overpaid. They didn't fill out the paperwork right somehow, and they're going to get their money back one way or another because they hold the control over sending out those benefit payments, and they can just stop sending them, which is what they've essentially announced they're about to do with this person. But it's worth asking them how they came to this conclusion of reducing your benefit by $60. They should be able to explain the math to you. And maybe that person walking through it will discover that that is actually the mistake and not the original amount. But that is what happens on an overpayment.
Okay. Perfect. Any questions, Joe?
No. Sounds pretty self-explanatory. They want their money.
I don't blame them.
They don't care how they...
Can I have that? We need that. Yeah, don't throw that away.
I was going to make it so it could fly over to you a little easier.
Thank you.
We have a big table here.
We have a very big table, and I print out all these emails, mm-hmm. and then I have to give them to...
And then we just toss them into a big pile in the middle of...
No, I'm semi-organized here now. I'm getting better. Problem is we get a lot of emails, but the one that came in just recently was very similar to this Social Security question, which was in the queue, so that's why I answered both at the same time. Okay, so now we have another tax question. This one, I hope we didn't answer this already. I think we did, but you don't think we did. So we'll go through it again, this time with Joe. But when I was reading this, I thought, God, this question looks familiar. And it comes to us. They sign it, George. It comes to us from... No idea. Pick a state.
Arkansas.
All right. Comes to us from Arkansas. Okay, it begins, we plan on retiring at age 57. Presently, my wife and I are 48 and 47, respectively. We have about $1.2 million in savings. By time we retire, we hope to see this figure grow to $2.5 to $3 million. So with this in mind, I have the following questions for you. Assuming we had no income in a given year, i.e. we did not work, we don't earn any money, and we plan on living off of just investments. And based on current tax laws, do you know how much we can withdraw from our accounts each year before we would have to pay any taxes? And then he lists brokerage accounts, Roth accounts, IRA accounts. That is, what's the total amount we could take out before we encounter taxes? Couple of things on this question. First, they're retiring in 10 years. Any advice any advisor gives you 10 years before it's about to happen is advice that's not even worth the paper it's printed on. You should look at a financial plan for trends, not for exact answers, because it's impossible to answer something exactly the way you should do it far into the future. The closer the data is to the present, the more accurate the advice will likely be. But the further that advice is from the present, the less accurate the advice or answer will be. And instead, I always tell our clients, Chris, you know this, we always tell them we're looking for the trends. Mm-hmm. We want to see what the trends of your spending is, the trends of your income, the trends of the growth of your assets, the trends in the dropping of your assets through distributions. We're looking for trends, not necessarily totally exact numbers. I often say we might be on the target, we may not be on the bullseye. What he's asking, though, Chris and Joe, I think you would agree, is for us to tell him how much he's going to be able to spend in 10 years. I don't know. Joe could probably tell him today what you might be able to do, but certainly not in 10 years. And I also want to point out to him, Roth distributions may be tax-free when you take them out. They won't be necessarily taxable, or they might be subject to taxes. Same thing with your brokerage assets. You might pay taxes on them, you might not. And then your IRA assets, those will always be taxable to you, generally speaking. They will always be taxable to you when you remove them. But he wants to know how much he can take out of his accounts before paying taxes. Think what he's saying, Joe, in another way. How much can someone earn before they have to pay income taxes on it? And do you know that answer? Or I know same thing.
Well, right now, but
no, and that's
10 years
fine.
From now, no.
He said, base it on current laws. So how does it work now? Is there a certain amount of income someone can make before they have to pay income taxes on it?
Yeah, usually what you do is you look at what the standard deduction rate is. And if the standard deduction rate is $12,000, then, you know, $12,000 you can make up to that because it's going to remove it off of your taxable.
And it would be $24,000 for him because he's married.
Right, right. So he can look at the standard deduction rate and go, okay, well, I just don't want to make as much as the standard deduction and then I won't have to pay income tax. But the thing is he's talking about having like $2.5 million in maybe a savings or brokerage. I don't know if he's splitting it all up. But the other thing is there's unearned income, you know, taxable amounts that you have to report and that you have to pay tax on. So if he has interest, capital gains, anything in those accounts, he's going to pay taxes on those. He's not going to be able to avoid that because the unearned income right now reporting limit's like $2,350 or something. So if he has unearned income in those accounts, then he's going to have to pay taxes on those. Does that make sense?
It does. And okay. What Joe is saying, listener, is, and you did list, you had currently $1.2 million in brokerage assets and Roth assets. You didn't break that out and tell us how much are in Roth accounts, how much are in just a regular brokerage account. And I'm guessing by brokerage account, you don't mean inside an IRA, you mean outside of an IRA, but in a regular brokerage investment account. If that, in fact, is the case, bear in mind, listener, even if you don't sell any of those investments, even if you don't realize any of that asset by selling it, you may still have taxable income because the investments themselves may be generating interest, dividends, and capital gains distributions. And even if you were to reinvest it inside that brokerage account, assuming it's not in an IRA or Roth account wrapper, that will be taxable to you. And that's what Joe is trying to point out. But she's also saying, essentially, barring any big deductions, he can earn up to the standard deduction if he's filing joint, because he did indicate he's married. Right now, under current rules, listener, in 10 years, these Trump tax cuts that are in effect right now are scheduled to be totally gone. So I don't know what the rules in 10 years are going to be. But right now, if it was 10 years and you were doing it now under current rules, he could earn, assuming again no major deductions, Joe, they could earn about $24,000. Because the standard deduction would wipe that totally out and it would be tax-free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, is there a zero bracket for anyone before the 10% bracket begins? Or does everything begin filling the 10% bracket? So if he was to make $24,001, that $1 would be in the 10% bracket?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people think there's a zero bracket, but it's the standard deduction.
Yeah.
That's what gives you the zero for a certain amount, and then after that, you're right into the first bracket, which is 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we
sorry to step on your toes.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
And we keep saying standard deduction. That's because itemizing is gone for the time being.
Well, for no,
intent and purpose.
Not gone.
Not totally gone.
For a lot of people.
But for a lot of people.
Yeah, it doesn't really apply to as many people as it used to.
Okay.
So.
And what's the difference between the standard deduction and itemizing? How would you explain that to people?
Well, the itemization is where they allow you to take deductions for real estate taxes, mortgage interest, charitable donations, maybe some medical. They allow you to take those expenses and lump them and take a deduction for them. And the standard deduction was created for people who don't have that. So if you don't own a home and you rent, or you know, you don't charitably give or whatever, you still are going to be eligible for a deduction. They didn't want to just say, oh, only people who have this get to deduct. So they created the standard deduction in order to accommodate the people that don't have those things that apply. But itemization changed recently just because of the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. They've capped some things, so it's not as easy to obtain. But the doubling of the standard deduction also helps and increases, so that more people that were taking the itemized deductions are now taking the standard deduction because it's higher than their mortgage interest and real estate taxes, et cetera.
Okay, perfect. All right. So we answered that first question. Then let's see. Then he asks, how much could we add to this amount from savings before we would have to pay taxes? For example, could we work and earn a combined $30,000 and then pull from our brokerage account a certain amount and not pay any taxes? I understand my Roth, there will be no taxes on this. If so, what would the X amount be that we could pull out in addition to $30,000 and not pay any taxes? And again, what he's asking, we can't.
Well, it's a negative number because at 30, he's already
he's
being
already taxed. Over.
Yeah,
so
he's already over that.
Oh. Yeah.
So there's nothing else you can do. And I want to point out, you jumped to the conclusion, listener, that your Roth, there will be no taxes. That is not true. It has to be a qualified withdrawal in order to be tax-free. So the Roth has to be open at least 5 years, and you have to be over the age of 59 and a half, dead, disabled, those two aren't really good, or buying a first-time home when you can take out to $10,000 of earnings from a Roth and use it for the purchase of a first-time home. Those are the only ways you can get money out of a Roth tax-free. You intend to retire at 47 and 48 respectively. So your first few years of, 57 and 58 respectively, you said. So the first few years of your retirement, both you and your wife will not be able to fully take out all the earnings from your Roth and have it exempt from taxes or a 10% early withdrawal penalty. So do be careful on that. Anything else you want to add on that?
They can take out the money they put in.
Correct.
So if they put in enough, they might be able to, in those first couple of years, simply only be touching that money, which is what can come back. We always talk about how in a Roth IRA, the money you contribute can come out at any time for any reason,
exactly.
Penalty and tax-free.
The withdrawal order.
And that comes out first.
Right. And the withdrawal order, that's what Chris is getting at, on a Roth is always your contributions first. No matter what, your contributions come out first. Then the IRS considers conversions to come out second. Doesn't matter. Conversions come out second in order of being converted. So if you convert it every year for 10 years, since you're 10 years from retirement, the first converted money 10 years ago comes out. Then the 9 years ago, then the 8 years ago, and the 7 years ago. Why is that important? Because conversions have to stew inside your Roth IRA for 5 years to be exempt from the 10% early withdrawal penalty. So if you convert it every year for 10 years and then you retire, you're going to be able to take out some of your conversions, maybe the first 5 conversions you did if you did one a year, but conversions 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, you're going to have to wait and take those out in stages because some of them would not have been stewing for 5 years. And the earnings on that conversion will be subject to taxes and a 10% penalty. And the money converted, although it will be exempt from income taxes, if it's taken out within that 5-year period, will be subject to the 10% early withdrawal penalty on top of the income taxes. So he has to be careful on the Roth that may not fully be tax-free until 59 and a half. Then he'll be in a better situation.
Right.
Okay. And then letter C. Once we are receiving Social Security, so this is up your alley there, mm-hmm. Chris. assuming we receive the lowest amount from Social Security.
Well, that the lowest amount is zero, just to be clear.
Okay, well, maybe he's a little higher than the lowest amount. We will have earned our 40 credits, but the amount we contributed to Social Security will be very small. Credits, yes. Income, not much more. How much Social Security provides could we, how much could we pull from investments and not be taxed on the Social Security?
Well, that's also going to be kind of the triggering event is the amount of MAGI, modified adjusted gross income, that you've got that earned the, that withdrawals that are taxable are going to contribute to that, as well as your interest and dividends and all those other things get lumped in there. So it's hard to give him a clean answer, but if he's married, $35,000 is going to be the triggering point where then he's going to have his Social Security start to be exposed to taxes.
And that money is not reduced for the standard deduction, correct? Because it's modified adjusted gross income before you start doing your adjustments to it. Or is it?
Standard deduction
above
is
the line.
above the line.
So yeah, it's...
Your standard deductions hasn't come out
it's
yet.
It's not going to,
right.
Yeah, it's not going
it's
to
gross
make a difference.
Income. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so it's what he brought in.
Correct. So that's going to trigger the taxation of Social Security at a pretty low amount. Unless
exactly.
They have never scaled these numbers for inflation. So if they still don't do that, another 10 years from now, it's going to be very easy to have income from all these sources that count that push him over the threshold, creating a situation, where 85% of his Social Security is taxable.
The key that I want to get at, and one of the reasons I wanted to get to this question and have you on, Joe, is all too often we, and listener, thank you for the question. Those are very good questions. And these were not die-hard definitive answers because it's impossible for us to give you something today to rely on 10 years out. We're just trying to show you how the rules work. Chances are some of your income will be tax-free, some of it won't be, but Lord only knows what they're going to do with tax laws between now and then. But let's bring everything into the present. Because all too often, even people we're working with now on helping them pull in retirement plans, they think we're going to be able to do a plan for them in 2019, and I'm going to be able to tell them exactly in that plan how much they are going to be able to or should take out every year from their IRA, Roth IRA, brokerage accounts. How much they could convert every year, how much they can do to optimize their tax situation every single year. And what I try to tell people is we can get close to those numbers, but we can't get exactly there. We have to look every year and do a calculation almost every year, Joe, because taxes are very fluid. What do you think?
I agree. And, you know, I get that the listener, you know, from his email is indicating that he really doesn't want to pay taxes. You know, he'd like to avoid taxes at all possible. And I understand that we don't all like to pay taxes. It's not the funnest thing. But ultimately, if you're making goals and you're saving money for retirement, you're going to have some tax implications later on. What we have to do is make sure that you're put in the right position so that you can, like you said, optimize that situation so that you're not paying as much. So there's steps that you can take to make right decisions and put yourself in a good position on lower tax brackets or et cetera. But you can't always avoid taxation altogether. And you can't live necessarily on, you know, whatever, $30,000 a year so that you don't take out, you know, taxes on your Social Security.
There's certainly things you can do to mitigate the taxes.
Yeah.
So having a tax strategy and a plan in place can certainly help. Having eyes wide open, he's considering the right stuff. I think his goal to pay zero taxes is a honorable, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect someone who can work the system legally and within the rules and end up not paying taxes. That's what, you know, that's great. Congratulations. But very difficult if you have any level of income at all, any substantial amount saved in pre-tax accounts like IRAs and 401ks, etc. Any investments that are earning returns and dividends, capital gains, those sorts of things. So I think the best he can expect to do is to minimize the taxes. He might be able to get away with lots of his income being taxed at the 10% level, you know, at 0 or 10.
Right.
So he might have effective tax rates that are very, very low. Zero, it's going to be a little tough to do.
Yeah, and you really don't want to, honestly, I don't think you want to be there. You know,
because you're
going to
be restricting your lifestyle.
Right, you won't be able to do anything. Yeah, exactly. You will be very limited in what you can do as far as spending money and paying your bills, whatever you have. So you don't necessarily want to be in that zero area. The goal is to have enough money to take care of yourself for the rest of your life. So,
okay. Interesting email. I do admire his attempt at paying no taxes, but I tend to agree it's going to be difficult, but having a tax plan in place would be beneficial. We do have the ability with our software to project a lot of what he's wondering, but there's so many variables in it. We would have to guess how much you're saving, what are you going to earn, how long are you going to save for, what is your spending needs going to be in 10 years when you retire, and then we can show you what we feel your tax liability would be. But being 10 years out and so much variability, I'd almost encourage him not to do something like that right now. Just keep up to date on tax laws. Keep up to date on what may be coming. Diversify the way you're saving. Make sure you're saving in always taxable, maybe taxable, never taxable. We talked about this on last week's Q&A, Chris. We don't necessarily feel 100% tax-free is always a good thing, because you give up some of those very low brackets, your 10 and 12% bracket. If he's trying to get everything in Roth accounts in a 22% bracket, he's not doing it wisely. Mm-hmm. But I think good tax diversification. Always remember that, listeners. Start looking at your accounts, not necessarily by the assets they hold. Look at them by the type of account wrapper they're in. Always taxable, maybe taxable, never taxable. IRAs and other qualified accounts, except for Roth accounts, will always be taxable when you take the money out. Maybe taxable is the brokerage accounts that this gentleman talks about. Those are the accounts that you may pay capital gains taxes on, you may not. You may have losses to offset gains, you may not. So we don't know if those or distributions from those accounts will be subject to taxes or not. We don't know if they'll be subject to income taxes or capital gains taxes or special dividends taxes. We don't know. That's why we call them maybe taxable. And then, of course, your never taxable accounts, which are Roth-style accounts. But as I said, they have to be a qualified withdrawal in order to be truly tax-free. And in short, you got to have a five-year-old Roth, and then you have to be over the age of 59 and a half. But I would encourage him, Chris and Joe, to make sure he's saving and always, maybe, and never. He may want to overweight a little, and I can guess he is in the maybe and the never. But don't overlook having some in IRA-style accounts. And just keep, we call that tax diversification, keep good tax diversification. And then as he gets closer to retirement, probably about 5 years away, I would feel much more confident doing a tax projection analysis than telling him to do one now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree totally.
I concur.
Oh, that was easy. All right. Well, that's it for tax questions. Oh, I guess that's it for the show too. It is? Wow. Okay. That was quick.
Well, got to do what we got to do.
How many minutes did we record?
45.
Oh, cut it short.
So well, we have another show to do.
All those people whose emails we didn't get to, you can blame Chris.
We got through quite a few today.
For cutting today's show short. He ripped y'all off 15 minutes.
Because we were waiting for Jim to come upstairs. Just saying.
Jim's working downstairs.
Mm-hmm, I get it.
Okay, folks, but thank you. This was the Retirement and IRA Show Q&A version. And as we always say, we are living, breathing, what do we say? Living, breathing?
Financial planners.
Financial planners, yeah. Thank you. And tax planners.
Apparently.
In the state of Colorado, We work with people, though, throughout the United States. If you're interested in having us look over your situation, don't hesitate to visit our website, Jim Helps. That's Jim, HELPS.com. There you can learn a little bit about Chris, myself, and Joe. Although, Joe, you're not on the site yet.
I don't think so.
Do we link to your personal site?
I don't think so.
We'll get her up there shortly.
We're going to have to get her up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you all can put a name to her face. I mean, a word to her name.
Face to her name.
Whatever. And
see what she looks like.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah.
You got your photo on your website, right?
I do.
Okay. But if you want to learn about us, or if you're interested in maybe having us help you plan for your retirement, go to jimhelps.com, click on the Contact Us button or Schedule a Meeting button, and you can schedule a phone call. We will chat with you, see if there's a way we may be able to help you.
Perfect. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back with you next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.